0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic sweep Motherwell aside to maintain their 7-point lead at the top. It looked like that gap would be stretched until Yanis Hadji popped up with the winner on his first Rangers start, and Hearts are rock bottom as Aberdeen miss out on the chance to go third. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, it was another action-packed night, Gordon, in the Premiership. Celtic continue to impress, came back from Dubai and they're sweeping everybody aside with ease. Rangers, although not at their best, again after the winter break, they managed just to get the job done and keep that gap to 7 points. So lots of talking points. Hadji at the rescue. It's always nice, I suppose, if you're a Rangers fan, when one of your new signings comes in and managed to grasp the 3 points. But lots of talking points after last night's action.
Yeah, a lot of good football last night, Gordon. A lot of interesting football. You look at Fir Park, everyone expecting a very difficult game for Celtic. They were absolute terrific. 4 goals. I thought we were lucky to get beat just 4-0. Mark, you know, we put on as good a performance as we could. We tried to go head to toe with them.
Head to toe
started already. Unfortunately, it didn't happen for us. And in Glasgow at Ibrox, Rangers left it late. But the most important thing, they get the 3 points. And Derek McInnes, after a good 0-0 at Ibrox last week, comes under a little bit of pressure again. Aberdeen not scored in 4 games. Incredible.
Every single team in the Premiership played last night, so you must have something on your mind, good, bad or indifferent. Maybe you were at the game, maybe you watched it on TV, listened on radio, you've just been catching up with the scores. Whatever it is that's on your mind after last night, let's hear it. 0141 951 1025. And on Twitter, you can find us at Clyde SSB. Here's a question. Have you ever wanted to be Hugh Keevans or Alex Ray?
No, never was.
Not really, no.
Right, well, we'll give it a bash. Because on a Monday, they get to do their result of the weekend, their goal of the weekend. They get all the fun.
Ah, quite like that.
And I figured that last night, everybody played in the top flight, certainly. So I think we can give it a bash. It'll be a diet version. You don't have all the divisions to choose from. But see if you can kick us off with your result of the night.
Yeah, actually I was the howler of the week for Alex Ray a couple of weeks ago.
Yes,
actually,
yes,
that's right.
Were.
I remember
we
listening.
We were hoping that you weren't listening.
Really?
Anyway, that's result of the weekend.
Result of the night.
Listen, you know, a lot of big results in there, but I'll go for the one that Daz has just mentioned. St Johnson away to Aberdeen. Now Aberdeen, Derek, under a wee bit of pressure, but went to Ibrox and were solid. And it's always a difficult place to go. Tommy Wright has come under so much pressure to go there and nick a goal in the 6th or 7th minute and then manage to hang on. I think that's impressive stuff for Tommy Wright's men.
I'm going for, as an ex-Air United manager, I'm going for my rivals, Killie, away at Tynecastle. Everyone thought after a Hearts result against Rangers, they've turned the corner, they would climb the table. Killie went there, not in a great run of form. They got a good win last week at home. They needed that. And they've added to it with a terrific win away from home against Hearts. So for me, Killie on Wednesday night was my performance.
Good options for you on the goal of the night front, I must say.
Yeah.
What are you going
That's
for?
A tough one. Like you say, Gordon, so many to choose from. I'm going to go for an outstanding free kick. And it's not Odson Edward. That was outstanding, but I think he was taught by Dermis from St Mirren. You know, Jim Goodwin badly needed that, and Dermis stepped up left-footed right into the top corner. No chance for the goalkeeper. Outstanding piece of technical ability.
Yeah, but I'm going for the actual goal of the night, Gordon. I really am.
The actual goal of the night.
Mushrooms come up with number 2, in my opinion. Joint with probably Edward. Got to be Cal McGregor at Fir Park. The move, the ball in, the way he flicks it up, top corner, there your dinner, goalkeeper, absolute no chance.
is that what he said? Or
yeah,
is it,
yeah, that's what you do. You go, there's your dinner. Yeah.
And this is always good fun. We're looking for your howler of the night, because it can be anything really, from a sitter in front of goal, a goalkeeping mistake, a refereeing error, managerial miscalculation, whatever you want. What's your howler of the night?
Well,
a few choices there as well, by the way.
Listen, that was a big game for St Mirren and Hamilton, the 6-pointer. And Mikael Miller, in the 77th minute, had a chance to probably get all 3 points for his team. Penalty kick, and he misses the target, tries to go low to the goalkeeper's left and puts it past the post, doesn't even hit the post, puts it by. Always think that's worse when you totally miss the target. So that's my howler.
Well, can't believe I'm saying this, Gordon.
Oh, after, where is this going?
After defending them for so long, even defending AD on Saturday, Rangers Aberdeen, when we get calls about the referee, I think Bobby Madden's got to have a real look in the mirror last night with the tackle on Morelos. Why is that not a yellow card, Lewis Stevenson? It was a WWF tackle. It was incredible. And how you got away with it. So sorry, Bobby. You're my howler of the night.
Showing his age there. It's not been WWF for quite some
what
time.
Is it then?
Is that not today with animals now?
WWE.
When did they change the IFTB?
Years ago. Anyway, enough about that. 01419511025. Any of last night's talking points, let's do them. Let's get stuck right in. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. We'll hear from Stephen Gerrard first. He says his players gave him the reaction he was looking for in the second half. He asked the players at the break to lift the crowd, and he says they deserved to get all 3 points in the end.
I'm very happy. Obviously, it's a big win. 3 important points, exactly what we needed in terms of the outcome of the game from the weekend. And I thought we got out the game what we deserved. Our second half performance was a lot more like us, and it was an improvement on the first half showing. I thought we got frustrated and we were trying complicated things in the first half, and you could feel the groans and the frustration from the fans, and rightly so. So I asked the players at half time to give us a performance to lift the crowd and get back to more what we need and how we've performed for the majority of the season, and they delivered the players. I thought we at least deserved a 2-1 win, even more. You know, we were the ones who were getting all the shots at the goal. We were the one that were pushing, getting a lot of set pieces, trying to create. So we got out of the game exactly what we deserved.
Justin is a Rangers fan in the city centre. What stood out for you last night, Justin?
In a word, Hadji
was
massively. I wanted to apologise first and foremost, guys, and by the way, I won't be taking my sauce for lunch anymore after his Morelos statement that I get slated for. So,
is this a Tottenham Hotspur one?
That's right, yeah, no. I remember.
What one's this one?
No, the Tottenham Hotspur one. You're mistaken. You must be mistaken. That was the
Tottenham one. Yeah. Justin had been out for lunch, remember? Like, oh. Do you know what, Justin? Fair play to you for rearing your head so soon. Other lesser individuals would have gone into hibernation for quite a while. So it's good to have you back, even if your source is a dud.
Yeah. No, he's useless. He can eat McDonald's for now.
And let's be honest, Justin, when we were off the phone, we were just shaking our heads. I can't believe he's come on with that.
Ah, well, I'm sure folk have said what. But no, it was relatively last night. We were looking kind of decent at certain parts last night, and then the frustration seemed to kick in. We seemed to start getting back the way inside. And it was surprising kind of watching it, because for the first maybe 10 minutes the ball didn't seem to be getting into Hadji at all. They seemed to be kind of bypassing. It seemed to be having to come short and get it, but as soon as he started getting on the ball, everything positive was going through him. He seemed to lift everybody around about him, and it was so good to watch a 21 year old boy in his first full 90 minutes coming on and actually telling the captain where to be, where to go, taking the free kick, going and taking the corner. He wanted to do everything. He wanted to be involved in everything, and he wanted to drive everybody forward. And you've seen players like Arfield run about him taking inspiration to it, and it was his finish. I know you're talking about goals of the night and stuff like that, but for him to do that and take that first time where he was shows you the confidence the boy's got. It can only be good for Rangers.
Justin, is it over the top to suggest that that was the goal that kept Rangers in the title race? Is that over the top, or is that fair?
I think it's fair, in all honesty, because if we'd have went to one each last night and that had been another couple of points dropped, it puts massive pressure on the Old Firm games. I don't think the league's done by any manner of means until the two Old Firm games are out of the way, but it would have certainly put us under major, major pressure. But the way that again, it may be over-egging it a wee bit, but there was decent performances to some people, but I don't think if Hadji was on the park last night, it would have been a draw, or good beat if he wasn't in the park last night.
I've got to say, I think that Hadji's kept Rangers in the title race, Gordon. I don't think they could afford to drop any more points, especially they're come under a little pressure, a little bit of pressure. I was at the game against Aberdeen, and I said on Super Scoreboard, sometimes you just got a feeling about a player. Rangers weren't at their best against Aberdeen. He come on in, I think it was the 78th minute, and there was 4 minutes added on. And I've got to say, I was very impressed with the lad. He looked for a ball, he was confident, he wanted to own it, even if there was a man beside him. He was prepared to take responsibility. Now, I'm not getting carried away with him, because it's early doors in his career in Scotland.
But you've just told us you know he's a player after 13 minutes.
Yeah, but people, I do. But other people like Mark and that may have
take
to
a take a bit longer, do they?
Take a few months.
They don't have the same eye that you've got.
Give him to next year, he might be thinking, yeah, I could get him in loan. But I've got to say, that goal last night, I think, gives you so much confidence. Wins over the Rangers fans right away, becomes an instant hero. I think he's got a lot to offer Rangers, I've got to say that.
Mark, was it? Was there a statement attached to putting him in as well? A big call in the sense that Rangers have stuttered since they came back from Dubai. Everyone knew that really dropping points last night combined with a Celtic victory would have made it extremely difficult for Rangers to come back. So actually by putting him straight in from the start, it was almost like, you know, go and do what we brought you
here
for.
It shows, you know, Steven Gerrard obviously knew the ability the boy had. They obviously knew last night was a platform for him at home. Perfect conditions, and it would suit him. And you're right, it would have been easy for Gerrard to start him on the bench and bring him on to try and influence the game. But with the way things have went for Rangers, they really need a creative force just now, and that's why they've brought him here. And the young lads went and done that. You know, I said last week in the show, I watched him in the Euros, and he looked outstanding. But it's hard to gauge when it really matters at the top end, when the pressure's on, if he could do it. And last night he showed that he was the difference between Rangers dropping 2 points and getting the full three.
Good man, Justin. Thank you for kicking us off tonight. Have a word with that source next time you see him. Neil Lennon was delighted to watch Celtic impress as they maintained the 7-point lead. An Odson Edouard double, goals from Lee Griffiths and Callum McGregor gave them the 4-0 win at Motherwell.
The quality of our play and motivation and hunger and desire and the quality of the goals was spectacular. So, you know, all credit to the players of... It's a magnificent win. It's not often you come here and win 4-0. And, you know, Motherwell are, you know, good side and they're well coached. But I can't speak highly enough of my backroom team and the players at the minute. You know, they've started the second half of the season brilliantly. Yeah, I mean, well, when you consider the opposition and where we were, then, yeah, probably it's the best we've played. And, you know, the players are in a good place. Delighted with Simunovic again, you know, coming into the team again and doing a really strong job for us. My goalie made a great save at 1-0 when we needed him. So it's a sum of all parts again, but there were some outstanding individual performances. McGregor, you know, what's a player he is. I think he's so underrated at times, but not by me. I think he's just an unbelievable player.
How good was it last night for you, Paul?
Oh, hi, Gordon. Hi, Mark. Hi, Gordon.
Hi, Paul.
Last night, a totally scintillating performance. That's the best that I've saw from playing an away game even by the previous season standards. I thought it was totally outstanding. I think that I need to hold my hands up here. Lee Griffiths has come back much better than I thought he would. I think he's took a bit of the burden off of Odson Edouard, and the two of them look like they've been a partnership for years. I think Griffiths is now not the out-and-out goal scorer, even though he's been doing good with the goals. But the movement, and it just seems to move the whole team better. Greg Taylor as well, I thought he's been great. He's been shown another dimension. He's a bit more like Tierney with his movement. I thought they were absolutely brilliant.
Gordon, they just seem so clinical at the moment. I mean, they weren't without their moments, particularly in the first half, and Motherwell had a decent amount of ball and had decent amount of chances. I think Celtic had 6 shots on target and 4 of them go in. And by the way, I don't say that to take anything away at all from Celtic. It just shows how clinical they are. They just don't need many chances anymore. If it's not Edouard, it's Griffiths, it's McGregor. You're bringing on guys like Christie, bringing on guys like Rogic. El Yunusi comes back amongst the subs. When they get in that final third, as an opposition fan, you're you're expecting the worst every time.
Yeah, looking at that game last night and games before gone, you can still see Celtic losing a goal, right? But I don't think it matters. They've upped the gears that much that if they lose one, they'll just go up and score another two. They're clinical. I think Griffith's coming back in. I think Paul's right. He's now starting to look like he's got a bit of fitness, sharpness. He's scoring goals, confidence. He's the one that stays right up, and it's Edward that drops into that, you know, the space just between the defence and the midfield. And at times he's unplayable. He really is. He's in such form just now. Every time he picks a ball up, you can see defenders shaking, thinking, what's going to happen here? McGregor, as Neil Lennon said there, sometimes he doesn't get the credit he's due, but his goal last night, as I say, I gave him goal of the night, and I think he deserves it.
And what more of an accolade could you ask
for?
Exactly.
And I know that he'll be listening, and I know he'll be sitting in his car and now saying, that's good. That gives me a bit of confidence getting into the cup against Clyde. But yeah. I just think that Celtic from the winter break, the big thing for me is the two up top, Gordon. Celtic fans have been crying out for us for a long time, and it was successful with one up. Let's be honest, they've won so many trophies, but with that extra guy up there with Griffiths who can score, his goal last night was just a striker's finish, Griffiths, you've got to say. It was so cool, calm and collective, but they've got goals all over the park. Forrest can chip in, McGregor can chip in, Christie can chip in. You know, they've got two guys up front that if you give them decent chances, the ball's going to end up in the back of net. They've taken it to another level. Rangers are getting results, and they got a great result last night, a result. But if they're going to keep on them, they've got to up their game a bit for Rangers for me now.
I think he's right when you say Celtic are so clinical just now, and Daz is right with the two up top, because a lot of the time with this 4-2-3-1, you're relying on Edward. You know, your wide guys, Forrest and that, chip in. But just with Griffiths on the pitch, it occupies another centre-half. You put in Cham into that as well, you know, a creative force in Forrest and Taylor and things. It just becomes almost unstoppable. So the amount of chances you're creating, they're actually, you know, a higher percentage or chance of being converted. I even think the three at the back, with Simunovic back fit and Julian and Ayer, they're three monsters. If you go back to the Martin O'Neill years when Celtic had three out-and-out monsters, defenders at the back, it was so successful. And I think Neil Lennon, obviously he played in that side, he's looked at that and seen it was so successful, and it's working for him now.
Paul, take us back to about 25 past nine, if you can, when you see Celtic running away with it and you see that Rangers are still 1-1. Did you think that was the night that it would go beyond Rangers, and how do you feel about it now that they went on to get that winner?
To be honest, Gordon, when Celtic are playing like that, I'm not really too bothered about Rangers. I think that Celtic will blow the end away. I think that Celtic are getting a lot of players back now. And I also think that it's been quite amusing that Celtic have just signed two players to add to the brilliant squad they've already got. But I think that it's been ignored a wee bit. Rangers have went and signed a guy from Hibs that Hibs don't really seem particularly bad about losing on loan, and they have signed this fella Hadji, who people are buying into the name. I get it, he's father and that, but I almost think that it looks like Rangers have done more than Celtic have done. But I think Rangers had to do more because they've got an ageing squad. A lot of the guys here rely on our ageing. Celtic are bringing guys back. So honestly, I mean, Celtic, I'm not really that bothered with Rangers too.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. That was Paul in Kirkintilloch, the main man for Rangers last night, Yanis Hadji, the main man for Celtic, Oddson Edward. And if you want to hear what their managers had to say about them, we'll give you it next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL is here. Mark Wilson is alongside him, looking back on an action-packed, incident-filled night in the Scottish Premiership. Every team in action, big results at the top, middle and bottom. So don't hang about. Let us hear what you made of it. 0141 951 1025. We are also on Twitter @ClydeSSB. Loads of happy fans from Celtic and Rangers because they both got the victories. Sadie Kyle says, watched the game, thoroughly enjoyed it. Team flying. Eduard is just brilliant. Well done to Mullerwell for making a great game of it. There's always room for improvement though. Anthony Harris, obviously happy, but just don't get what Lennon sees in Simunovic. He says he's actually quite poor, and Lennon says he is outstanding. It's just a flavour on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's keep looking back on last night. Stephen Gerrard says Yanis Hadji was outstanding in the second half. He says he deserved to score the winner. He was even screaming at the player to take a touch before seeing the ball hit the back of the net.
Listen, he's a top talent. I said it when he arrived. And yes, you know, not just Yanis, but all the attacking players. We picked a very bold, ambitious lineup today for a reason, because we were looking for a spark and creativity in the final third. I thought his performance grew as the game went on. I think in the first half he's coming to terms with Scotland, you know, people being aggressive around him, people knocking him about. Second half he was much stronger. He's a brave player in terms of he'll receive the ball in any situation, in any area of the pitch, and even if he makes a mistake next time, he won't shy away, he'll keep going. His second half performance deserved to win the match. He was outstanding, and the goal, I'm actually shouting on the side, take a touch, but what do I know? Fantastic finish. I think it's his dad's birthday as well, so nice moment for him.
Craig is an East Kilbride. As a Rangers fan, Craig, what stood out for you last night?
Hadji's goal was absolutely exquisite, to be honest. And it's good to see Tavernier back. That was a big thing for me, I think. Although he took a bit of direction for Hadji, I think him, having him back in the squad made a difference to us all. I think I was brilliant. I've got another wee point that you probably don't hear for Rangers fans when he opened, but I'm kind of a bit worried about this two up front that's happening just now, because they are on fire. So I don't know how that's going to come across when we actually get to play them. What's your thoughts on that?
What do you think, Gordon? Because something that I noticed today is how quickly Celtic have built up a big gap in terms of goal difference. Remember, it was so close for a while. I think everything was level.
Yeah.
And in what doesn't seem like a long time, both Eduard and Griffiths are firing, and I think it's at 12 goals now. It certainly has opened up quite a bit.
Well, we'll still have to wait, because you never know what happens between now and then, Gordon. There's a lot of football to be played. But I think it's added so much to Celtic, and I totally agree with Craig. If you're Rangers, you're looking at these two, and it's, you look at two strikers and you're thinking, usually it's one that puts the ball in the back of the net. The two of them are sharing now. You're always looking at, if the ball comes in the box, is it Eduard that's setting up Griffiths? I like the link-up play. I like the way they're starting to form this partnership together. Remember, these are two guys that played as lone strikers most of their time at Celtic. Even McGriffiths, when he scored something like 40 goals that season. So it sometimes takes a little bit of time to form that partnership. I think they're getting it right away. They look dangerous. Eduard drops off there. Defenders don't know whether to come in with them. Midfield players don't know what to... I just think that Neil Lennon's found a terrific formation just now. But by the time we get to Ibrox, and it'll be up to Stephen Gerrard to say, right, I want to upset Celtic with my tactics, and Neil Lennon will say, well, I'm going to win the game with mine. That's the beauty of the game.
I think as well with the two up front, it's not as if it's a new signing has just come in and you think, oh, he's maybe going through a wee purple patch in his first few games. You're talking about two proven goal scorers here, and Daz is right, they played up front themselves, but it looks like the two of them are thriving from having that wee bit of support round about them. Also alleviates the pressure. You know, Odds and Eduard playing up there a lot himself, he must have thought, I'm the out and out goal scorer, I need to score at every occasion. Now he's got a guy beside him who can shoulder some of that burden, and the two of them look like they're enjoying playing each other. So it will be interesting. And also, wait, two straight up, it just occupies two centre halves. You know, usually it's, you know, one centre half will drop and somebody will pick up Eduard. Now the two of them
I think the big thing about Celtic just now watching them is, for a Midland Park, it must be a joy, because you've got Eduard coming off and you can play that ball in there, and you know how strong he is, and he knows he's got to give defenders trouble. And then you've got Griffiths that plays in the shoulder, so that helps midfield players as well, Gordon.
What do you think, Craig?
Well, I kind of agree with that, to be honest, but I'm looking forward to see what Hadji does to the squad, because his finish last night was out of this world, and he's only a young lad. And I think if he gets settled and he gets a few more good balls put at his feet, I reckon we can give them a good run for their money. I genuinely think that, but I don't know. He's maybe a bit green. He's not green, that's probably the wrong way to pick it, but I think he's not used to the Rangers squad yet. He's only just two, and I think getting used to that Rangers squad will make a difference for Hadji personally.
I was going to say, Craig, because when he arrived, I think Stephen Gerrard, and I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember the exact words, but basically said, give him a bit of time, you know, don't expect too much too soon. And even there, Craig, in the clip we just played you, he said in the first half he was, you know, getting used to the other side of the Scottish game. Is there still a little bit of patience required with him, do you think?
Yeah, I think so as well. I think Rangers fans all the time are pretty superficial sometimes, and when somebody comes in and they get a new signing, he's got to be scoring goals and he's got to be doing his job to the letter. And I think Hadji showed up last night and he turned a lot of Rangers fans round. The first half, a lot of my pals were at the game. I didn't even make the game last night, but the crowd wasn't really there for the first half. And I think that does make a difference in Ibrox and in Parkhead as well, that if your crowd's behind you, your players will play better. They will play better knowing that the crowd's behind them. So I think Stevie G gave them a good kick at the half time, and it did make a difference.
Craig's right. Coming in as a Rangers or Celtic player, the pressure's on you, but especially in the January window when you're in the middle of a title challenge here. And
when your form and your results haven't been good.
Exactly. So this boy's come in, fair play to him, he's come in, this pressure's immediately on his shoulders, and he's paid off right away, you know, straight from the off.
Speaking of players that are having a contribution, Odson Edouard is now up to 24 for the season, 20 in the league. Now, it's been a few seasons since the Premiership had someone get to 20 goals. Edouard's done it by the 6th of February, or the 5th of February, as it was last night. Neil Lennon says he's enjoying watching the partnership with Lee Griffiths.
He's just special, you know, when he's in that sort of form. He's a joy to watch, you know, free kick. You know, it was a great finish for the first goal. His link-up play with Lee at times was very creative and good to watch, but he's just a 22 and outstanding footballer all round, and he's just so important to us at the minute. Played with good strikers, and at times it's telepathic or football intelligence, and those two have got an abundance. Lee Griffiths is a natural centre-forward. He can get better, he can get fitter, we all know that, but he's got natural football intelligence, and you know, I've already touched on Odson, so the two of them linking together doesn't surprise me at all.
Right, we know he's good at the moment, Odson Edouard. Brian and Stirling, just how good? How would you sum him up?
I'm going to say something that might get a wee bit titter at times, but Odson Edouard is the best thing at Celtic since Henrik Larsson. Now that in itself is a big statement, it's massive in fact, because we all know what Henrik gave us in 7 years. I'm not saying that he's going to be as good as Henrik. I'm saying he's the best thing since Henrik. That includes the Dembélés that went away, £20 million. That includes a lot of players that I revere and still say to this day, that guy has got every single tool in his box and he uses them every game nearly. Last night, there was four or five players running about him at one point. And I was there, and I must commend Motherwell on their tactics. They went to entertain their own fans, to play football, that expansive forward pressing, and it's good to have teams that are no afraid to have a go, because as we've seen at certain grounds, if you have a go at Celtic, if you have a go at Rangers, there is chances that you can pick up points.
Doesn't feel so good when you lose 4-0 though, Brian, does it?
But listen, from the first half to the second half, there was a massive difference.
Yeah.
And the massive difference was 3 to 4 players. Motherwell weren't a 4-0 down team. That's how we get the game ended. Motherwell, that's why I take my hat off to them and say, good, because they'll win more games and they'll be in better position to win games if they keep playing that kind of football. Plus, they'll get their fans, their bums in seats. So that's the first point. But the reason why Celtic, and I've said this, and I was a wee bit ridiculed by Hugh Keevans when he was on the show. Celtic do Dubai the last 5 years, and every time they come back, and I said, I'm not worried about Celtic in the first half of the season. And I'm glad that we have a title challenge. You know, I mean, running away with it, you know, it doesn't get the guys who the money men thinking, right, what do we need to do? it doesn't get the coaching staff. What do we need to do to best this challenge? And it's good for Scottish football. It's good. People are talking about Scottish football more when there's a challenge. But the Dubai thing, the whole change of tack afterwards, Celtic come out fighting. This is their best part of the season. They come on. What it does is it gives the big players a chance to rest, but not rest their mind from competitiveness, go out there and play the kind of training and do the kind of training that gives them another pre-season. And you can see what it's done to wee Griffiths. Griffiths and Edward last night were like telepathy. It was crazy. Mm. And then you had for me, how can you take the man of match away from Edward? For me, Calmac was out of this world. If I could give him 11 out of 10 and not be ridiculous, I would have.
Let me put some of those points to the panel, Brian, just because we're a little bit short on time before the travel. The best at Celtic since Larsson. Would you disagree? Would you agree?
I'm racking my brains after Henrik Larsson left. I mean, I played with some of the strikers. You know, John Hartson was still there. You know, Zarafsky. You go through the years. Hooper. Scott McDonald, Gary Hooper was outstanding. Then, of course, Dembele. Listen, I'd say Brian's got a point. I think Edward is more rounded than all of them. He can probably do everything. Each of those strikers, Venegura, Hessling, had something in their locker that was outstanding. Edward seems to have it all. Can hit set pieces, can have the pace to run in behind, strong, great finisher, can score headed, go. He's got a wee bit of everything. You know, so I wouldn't really disagree with Brian on that one. I think he's the most rounded striker that Celtic have had since Henrik Larsson.
I've got to agree that he's up there. Of that, there's no doubt.
I know. Come on, I'm not having up there.
Sitting in the
get off the fence and tell us yes or no.
Who's better than him then? Since Henrik Larsson,
I thought Dembele was a terrific talent. I watch a lot of the French football, and he's getting better and better. who's he playing with? but I've got to say, Edward just now has just got the complete football game. He really has. He's got everything. I love the way. The one thing I said about a while back, Gordon, was I thought sometimes his link up play was slack. See the now, it's absolutely brilliant. He comes off and he links it up. And
so is that a yes or no?
I don't know. I'm trying to get my mind. I'm trying to get to the travel here. Give us a second. But Dembele was a magnificent player for Celtic. But okay, I'll no sit in the fence. I think the two of them are the same just now.
On the fence. The thing about it, Mark, and I think you both mentioned it, it's probably the variety of what he's doing.
Yeah.
You've now got to get, he's banging in free kicks. He's obviously dropping deep. You know, he's a good finisher when he gets into the box. There were times last night where he would drop in 40 yards out, 30 yards out, get the ball, turn, nutmeg someone, drift past someone else.
Yeah.
And I
just think he has it all. I mean, even if you go back, you know, to when he first came and Dembele was there, remember he played a wee spell off the left as well, so he can play that position. But now, as Dad said, his link-up play is so much better. He's strong, but he can lead the line as well. And it's just paying off. He can play in a partnership. He can play one up front. I just think everything taken into consideration, he's an outstanding footballer.
And I've always said, Gordon, his biggest threat, free kicks. I've said that since
Think we've forgotten about the time that you ruled him out as being a free kick taker. Anyway, that was Brian and Stirling. Craig and East Kilbride before him. Thank you very much for the calls, gents. We're going to get some travel, and then we will hear from Motherwell boss Stephen Robinson. How did he see last night's game from his perspective?
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Diehl are here looking back on last night's action in the Premiership. What's on your mind? Why not tell us? 01419511025. And on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Scottish Cup this weekend as well. Some absolutely brilliant fixtures coming up, so we'll turn our attentions to those. We had Hearts going bottom last night, a disappointing night for Aberdeen. Kenny Miller has hung up the boots as well, so there's just a flavour of what else she might want to get involved as the show progresses. How much older is he than you, Mark?
What is he, 5 year older than me now?
Tell the true reason why Kenny Miller has hung up his boots.
No, save it. We'll do that later. Dear. Yeah, we're still on last night's action. Don't you worry. We'll get that out of you if we have to. Motherwell boss Stephen Robinson, he's ruining missed chances as they were beaten 4-0. They do remain third. other results going their way, but not an easy night at the office for Stephen Robinson.
But the quality they have, they punished us, and you know they were ruthless with it, and you have to sometimes just admire the quality in some of their play in the second half. You know, I think Edwards, arguably the best player in the league at the minute, he's unplayable at times. You know, and we got punished by a very, very good side. What I'll take out of it is a good performance first half. Am I happy with that? No. The scoreline, people said to me out there that we probably didn't deserve to get beat by four, but we did because they punished us and they were ruthless with our chances when we weren't, and that's the difference in levels.
Chris is on Twitter, Gordon. He's got a question that I'll put to you. His suggestion is that Chris Long should be in trouble for, well, I guess what he is alleging to be a stamp when he landed on Scott Brown. Chris doesn't seem too happy about it. He's also happy that we haven't discussed it yet. He says it's now 18:42. So he's keeping a close eye on the clock as well. So let's discuss it. Does Chris have a point?
No, not for me. I watched it last night, Gordon. I watched it back again today. There's no way that was meant. Two things. Chris Long was looking away, didn't see Scott Brown there. I watched the reaction of Scott Brown. I don't think Scott Brown even thinks that Chris Long was trying to be a bit naughty, and I don't think that's in the boys' locker. And I'm absolutely flabbergasted that someone's brought that up. There's no chance.
Flabbergasted.
Yeah,
that's great. I've never heard you use that before.
Don't ask me to spell it.
You must have heard somebody saying that today for that to be in your head. Flabbergasted.
It probably went along the lines of, in the queue at Greg's, I'm flabbergasted you're trying to get a discount off this coffee. Other high street bakeries are available. Mark,
Daz here. It's just amazing me just now. Any contact between player studs and a body, it's automatically people are jumping on. That's a stamp, and you know, get this sorted out, review it. Sometimes contact happens in games and people can't get out the way, or they can't, you know, shift balance or whatever. It happens, but I'm with Daz in this one. No, I didn't think it was a stamp.
I suspect it wasn't the answer Chris wanted, but give him his answer anyway. Alec is in Motherwell. Was that a sore one last night, Alec?
Well, when you're playing Old Firm, Gordon, anything you get off the Old Firm is a bonus. And by the way, I agree with Chris. I think that was a stamp. Because that's my point's going to be about the referee. And it's no sour grapes. All credit to Celtic. They won the game. They pumped us 4-0. We had chances. We never took them. And if you don't take your chances against any team for that matter, it does come back to haunt you. But the referee, I'm not blaming him for Miller's defeat. There's no way whatsoever. But some of his decision-making... I'll give you an example. Last night, where I was sitting in the new stand, I was in line with the 18-yard line, and Chris Long had a shot at goals in the second half. It actually went out for a throw-in. Now, it hit the corner flag and rolled out for a throw-in, and the Celtic fullback, I can't remember who it was, he picks the ball up, and he's walked up and walked up and walked up. He's now in line with me at 18-yard box. Just passed it, so he stole about 20 yards. And I know players steal 2 or 3 yards every week, it's part of the athlete, but he's 20 yards away from where the ball went out, and the linesman's actually going out his road to let him take the throw-in.
Alec, the East Stand at Motherwell has been raging about players taking throw-ins in the right place for as long as I've been going there, so as long as I can remember. And I'm not saying that you're wrong. I mean, the rules are there, you should take them in the right place, but in the context of big decisions that can go against you, does it really matter? Does it really matter?
No, of course it doesn't, Gordon. I mean, I'm not saying for 1 minute it affects us as a result of the way we play, but it's the inconsistency of the referees. And I think the linesman especially, because he actually moves out his road and he knows the ball's went out right at the corner flag, and he's watched him walk up. Now, the 18-yard box speaks for itself. That's 18 yards away, and he's still a wee bit further, and he actually stands and watches him.
Alec, is that your only complaint from the officials last night? Because see if it is, hang up quickly. If it's not, make something up.
Oh, come on, Gordon, I know.
Seriously,
that
are you telling me that you're giving the officials criticism because of one incident like that?
No, one incident, Gordon.
Tell me something else that annoyed you last night.
Oh, you've got him, Alec. He likes sticking up for the referees.
I gave Bobby Madden the worst.
I'm just saying, well, this Chris that was on Twitter said that about the guy, Chris Long stamp and Scott. I think it was a stamp. And I know it's just a matter of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another thing. To me, it was quite clear. He knew what he was doing. And that's me going against a Mullow player. I know you find that hard to believe, but he did start on Brown. There's no two ways about it.
Well, that's okay. And you rightly said you've got an opinion. Mark and I both agreed that it wasn't a stamp. So you can't have a go at the referee for that. He's made his own opinion.
You two
about
could be
it.
Wrong.
Well, so could
wouldn't be the first time.
So could Alec and Chris on Twitter.
Yeah, but you're acting as if because you two agree that
No. What I'm saying, it was a difference in opinion, and the referee made up his own. So it's not like it was a clear, like I gave Bobby Madden
howler of the night. So you did,
because that was clear, and nobody can defend that. Whereas Mark and I are saying, well, we don't think it is. Alec and Chris saying, yes, it is. So I'm not. I just think once again, I'll go back to Saturday again. When people are upset with different ways of what's happened in a football match, it's the easy target. Referee, Alex come on tonight, brilliant to phone in, Motherwell supporter, with you all the way, probably sat in the Willie Pettigrew bus with you, going up to Dundee and stuff like that. But to come on and moan about a referee or official because a player has stolen, well, Alex says 20 yards, I find that incredible.
Just before we have to get to the news, what about Alex's other point and something that Stephen Robinson said, Mark? It's always it's a real debating point on this show about how the so-called smaller teams should approach these games, should set up. We always get complaints from Celtic and Rangers fans going, this is rubbish, teams are just sitting in, they're just making life hard, they don't want to open up. And then Motherwell do give it a good go, do go toe-to-toe, do create chances, can't take them because they don't have a £9 million striker.
Yeah.
And lose 4-0, despite it not really feeling like a 4-0. I think anyone who was there feel like Motherwell had their moments in the first half and stuff.
But what's the right approach? Well, listen, Gordon, who knows? I mean, you could sit everybody behind the ball in one moment of brilliance. Take Edwards' free kick. That could win it because the quality is that high. Why not have a go? If you've been playing that way all season and you've got yourself high up the league playing that way, some great results, why would you change your style? You know, if you're going to get beat anyway with sitting in, keep to your style and have a go yourselves.
Alec and Motherwell, thank you very much. That takes us up nicely to this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL here. They were kicking off on last week's Beat the Pundit. They were really, it was horrible to watch them take the mickey out of the poor contestant last Thursday.
Hope it's Chris again.
So if you want to call in and try and knock them off their perch, now is the time. 0141 951 1025, and you need to call us before 7 o'clock. Your chance to Beat the Pundit next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here looking back on all the big talking points from last night's Premiership card. Every team in action. We've got Scottish Cup games coming up this weekend, some fascinating fixtures as well. Have you any thoughts on them? What about fans of teams we've not heard from yet? We've had Celtic, we've had Rangers, we've had Motherwell. What about Aberdeen, Hearts? You guys must be frustrated, to say the least. Any memories or tributes to Kenny Miller, who retires at the age of 40? What an innings he has had. He's decided to hang up the boots. And we'll maybe look at that and some other stories after we do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Gordon and Mark are here. One of them will have to defend the signed ball against Thomas from Cumbernauld. How are you, Thomas?
How are you doing, guys? I'm fine.
Good. You're not a neighbour of Mark Wilson's, are you?
No, but I know what he's saying.
That sounds ominous.
Alright, okay.
This could go one of two ways.
We'll drop the ball off. To you as we were last week to Chris and Thomas.
Try and get one.
That's good advice. Heads it is Mark Wilson, the Cumbernauld Derby, and tails it's Gordon DL. And it is heads, it's Mark again.
Come on, Tam.
Mark, I'm going to give you something else to listen to, Mark.
Right, go for it.
Just so that you can't hear Thomas anymore. Thomas, here's the deal. You've got 30 seconds on the clock. You're going head to head with Mark. The secret is that you can pass. The guys that
you
win
can
it,
pass.
You can. So if you don't know it, just pass it quickly and move on to the next one, okay?
Okay.
Good man. Your time starts now. What is the name of Yanis Hadji's dad?
Ilhamid? No.
Who was the last non-Old Firm side to win the Scottish Cup?
Hearts.
What age is Kenny Miller?
36.
Who's the top scorer in the Scottish Championship this season?
Dobie.
What nationality is Celtic's Marion Shved?
Russian.
What year of the 90s did Christian Daly get his first Scotland cap?
92.
Let's see if we can bring Mark Wilson back. Mark, can you hear us?
Yep, yep.
Great. It helps if I put your mic on, I find that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, you ready? Same set of questions to you, okay? What is the name of Yanis Hadji's dad?
Georgie Hadji.
Who was the last non-Old Firm side to win the Scottish Cup?
St Johnson.
What age is Kenny Miller?
40.
Who's the top scorer in the Scottish Championship this season?
Warris Shankland.
What nationality is Celtic's Marion Shved?
Ukrainian.
What year of the 90s did Christian Daly get his first Scotland cap?
93.
Name any of the two former Rangers players who won the FA Cup with Portsmouth in 2008.
Stephen Davis. No.
No, Steve Davis.
No.
Defoe.
Oh my. Not Defoe. No, it's not Defoe either. You'll find out. It's not Defoe. I can tell you that.
I think Tam said a Chris.
Right, let's go through. Let's.
Hang on, then.
Does he? Nah. He was better.
One.
Let's go and find out. What is the name of Yanis Hadji's dad? It's Georgie Hadji. Thomas, is that ringing any bells?
Nah.
No.
No.
Tom. Mark Wilson came into the office today furious because the guy who came in to fix his Hoover this morning had never heard of Georgie Hadji. See if you're out there, Mr. Hoover technician. You've scarred him. He was banging on about it for half an hour.
Keep Tom going here. This could be good.
Who was the last non-Old Firm side to win the Scottish Cup? It was Hibs.
Oh, aye.
Kent Rangers, great.
1-0 still to Mark Wilson. What age is Kenny Miller? He's 40.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
Come on, Tam.
Mark
Tam,
got
Tam,
it.
Tam.
Where's Tam? And all this is again.
Tam's still on 0. 2-0.
Know
Tam. He knows where you stay, he says.
Tam's sitting on the couch next to Chris, going, I know where it feels like, mate.
Who's the top scorer in the Championship this season? Lawrence Shankland.
Come on, Tam.
3-0 to Mark Wilson.
Has Tam gave an answer to any of these?
He guessed a few
of them. He's sending his
email.
What nationality is Celtic's Marion Shved?
Oh, Tam.
Tam, he's Ukrainian. He's not Russian. So Mark Wilson stretches his lead.
Is that not the same?
Well, don't start a geopolitical debate on
the
border
of that, Tam.
What year of the 90s did Christian Daly get his first Scotland cap? I don't know what you're laughing at. It was 97. You were miles out.
Where was Tam?
And you also said that Stephen Davis won the FA Cup with Portsmouth when you had the choice of Pedro Mendes and Nico Kranjčar.
Oh, when they got
loved that from you. We got, obviously, it was Jermaine Defoe.
Listen,
you
know, I feel like
Tam. I would have
that. See, but you need to be quicker. So let me count them up for Mark. 1, 2, 3. It was only a 4 for Mark Wilson. It wasn't brilliant.
What did Tam get?
It was a 0 for Tam, I'm afraid.
Thomas,
Andy, where are you rounding up these guys?
Oh, I'll tell you what that is, Nate. That's Chris with a different voice, isn't it? That's Chris back on.
Thomas,
come in, Mark, get a boy, you're gelding.
It's about as near as you'll get to a ball.
You were hopeless there, Thomas. Honestly.
He knows where you live.
Exactly.
Definitely. Well played.
Tom, thanks. I would say the same to you, but
Tom, just let me say your family's very embarrassed with you, mate.
They are. I saw my mates.
Oh, have you got any?
No.
Brilliant. That was Thomas. In Cumbernauld.
Goodness.
Ah, we need to go -4s and that. These guys
are you joking? Mark only got 3. Oh, got 4, right?
4. 4's great. Good. 4 would win.
Especially
you,
when you're up against a nil.
Chris and Tack. Week after week. Can't wait to next week.
I don't think we've had any other zeros since last Thursday.
Aye.
So quite lucky.
Aye. Well, they obviously underestimate us two on a Thursday and phone up. Aye. These guys,
I'm telling you now, picture us in Wishaw. Chris is running about celebrating. Thank God there's only one Tam.
Well done, Tam, for phoning in and embarrassing yourself.
Not at all. We welcome everyone of varying abilities as well.
Yeah. Right, can we send them a picture of the ball?
Your chance to beat the pundit will be back tomorrow night at the same time, just after 7 o'clock. So listen up for the shout just before the news. So what about that question that featured there? Former Scotland striker Kenny Miller has retired from playing at the age of 40. You probably know the CV. Began his career at Hibs, Rangers, Wolves, Celtic, Cardiff, back to Rangers. There was spells at Livingston and Dundee, and finally at Partick Thistle. 69 Scotland caps, a 12 year career, taking him up to beyond his 40th birthday. That alone is a hats off, isn't it?
Incredible.
Gordon, once you have a career like that, it's unbelievable, right? You look back and all your memories and what you've achieved. And what people say, how do you know when the right time comes to retire? Now, everybody would look at Kenny and think, well, he's 40, but he's still as fit as a fiddle. He scored, what, double figures with Partick Thistle before he left. But I know the real reason. The penny finally dropped. Over to you, the mushroom.
Is this true? I thought you two were having me on.
This is as true as you will ever. Now, this well, is a guy. This is a guy that's played at the very top level.
Don't you're tell me you tried to get him a breaking.
Oh, of course, Gordon. You've got to try your arm.
You're sitting there one Kenny. Friday and you hear. Brr, brr, you're like, oh, that'll be a big club. Right? On comes the mushroom.
I try to sell it to him. We've got a magnificent hedge there that you can look at. Listen, tried my arm, just said, look, don't know what the situation is, but Kenny says he was thinking of wrapping it. I don't know if I made his mind up there and then, but listen, what a terrific career the guy's had. I was lucky enough to be a teammate for a couple of seasons at Celtic, and he was terrific, just high energy. Didn't really hit the ground running, obviously, because his history had to win over a lot of Celtic fans, but his work rate, his work ethic, I think rubbed off, and he scored some important goals, and he's done it all, hasn't he? For a Scotland striker, he's ticked all the boxes. International career, fantastic. Was it his last international game? He scores at Wembley. Was that the one? He scores a fantastic goal there against England.
I can't remember if that was the last, but it certainly was one of them.
Yeah, I mean, terrific. So he can retire knowing that he's probably he's done everything apart from appear at Glebe Park.
So he would rather retire than work under you, which is that's fine. Could you imagine,
right, he could have been top of the league shortly because he could have brought in wee Davy and Kenny Miller's a partnership up top.
On a serious note, I mean, he goes down as the sort of trivia question answer, having played for Celtic and Rangers, and Rangers more than once. Not many people have done that, our two biggest clubs. Yeah. And like you say, Mark, I mean, 69 caps for your country, unfortunately for him. It came in an era when we couldn't get to major competition, but every single time he played, you saw that 100% effort all the time.
Well, it just became, you know, it just became the real focal point for Scotland. They gave so much, you know. He was a goal scorer in some big games. I mean, remember the patch he went through where he was scoring against Italy and things like that. And I think with his work rate, at sometimes he worked that hard that it maybe took away from his goal scoring. You know, people would say he doesn't score enough goals, but what he gave to the team for so many years was incredible. And I think, you know, I know he was getting on, but he actually retired too soon. You know, I think he still had a wee bit left in him in the international scene, but he'd obviously been there, done it all. It took his toll. And like you say, I mean, to play for Rangers, then Celtic, then back to Rangers, you don't do that if you're a poor player. You know, the guys would do anything to play with these clubs once in their career, to go, you know, a couple of times and then be successful at both clubs is something else.
If there are any memories or tributes or anything like that you wish to offer Kenny Miller, you know where we are. 01419511025. Let's speak to Roy. He's a Rangers fan in Prestwick. Hi, Roy.
Hiya.
What's on your mind tonight, Roy?
My point is basically to Mark and Gordon. Mm-hmm. Basically about the refereeing decisions last night.
Yeah, when you go, which one in particular? I think I know which one.
It's not a throw-in again, is it?
The relative incident that Bobby Madden. To the two pros that are sitting there, what do they think of the situation, basically?
Right, Gordon, you're brilliant at trying to defend referees. So give us the alternative view. What might Bobby Madden have seen or not seen? Try your best. Try and defend it.
I'm trying to think of any excuse, Gordon. I can't come up with any.
Does he think it's just a coming together?
Maybe the lights just got on his eyes as he was running over her. I can't think of anything that Bobby Madden would look at that, because I watched him in the picture and he had a good view of it. And I'm thinking, what are you not seeing that everybody else in the stadium can see? It's in today's game, it's a definite yellow card. And I don't know, maybe he's just had one of those moments of madness that he's thought, no, I'm letting this go. But you've got to say it is a yellow card and I can't defend him.
The only other thing, in fact, when you go, Mark, I take it you agree.
Oh, no, listen, I don't think there'll be anybody that disagrees with that. It's so blatant that it's actually laughable how they miss that. So there's no doubt about that one. I don't think anyone would suggest otherwise.
Roy, the only other thing that, and I'm just trying to provide a bit a balance here, have we not got a tough enough time debating the decisions that really, really impact the game? And I'm talking about, you know, goals that are wrongly disallowed, massive offside calls for goals, maybe sendings off that change the course of the game. I know it was a ridiculous decision. I know there was a sort of comical element to it because it was such a bad foul. How much of an impact do you think it had on the game?
Quite a bit an effect on the game, and Morelos personally himself, because you can see in his moods as well. I know you can see Morelos is a bit of a moody player, stoppy player sort of thing, but I think what makes it worse as well, the fact that the linesman is standing right there next to you when it happened.
Yeah, good point. That's where the linesman, you know, he's what, 5 yards from it, maximum?
Exactly.
He's got a great view, he's got to help as well. As I say, referees make decisions. You agree with them or disagree. I tend to think that a lot of the time they get a bit of criticism just for an excuse to take away from the performance of their own supporters' own team, or blame the referee. But I cannot put up a defence for that last night. It was a yellow card.
And by the way, I do obviously accept that it can influence games, because you've then got a player that's on a tightrope because he's been booked in this instance. It hasn't. I mean, I do accept that, Mark. I was just trying to
I know what you mean. It's not massive.
Provide a little bit of context. And, you know, there are some decisions that fans just can't get over because they really feel that the game was won or lost as a result of it. This doesn't fall into that bracket, as much as it was a big mistake and people have had a sort of laugh at it and saying it belonged in the wrestling and all the rest of it. Maybe it wasn't a direct impact on the game.
Let's call it
an indirect impact on the game.
I think it's just because it's so comical that everybody can see. And Roy's right, the referee is right there on the spot and the linesman is right there on the spot, and neither think it's a yellow card. I think that's the whole point. It's such a ridiculous decision that it's became a talking point. But you're right, Gordon, it didn't really impact anything.
Anyway, thank you to Roy in Prestwick for his call. Let's move swiftly on to Donald in Paisley. I think you might be making a similar point. Donald, are you unhappy with the officials by any chance?
Yes, I think it's continuing with that point. I'm not wanting to do the usual Super Scoreboard cliche of, you know, all we're looking for is consistency and that. You know, the refereeing performance last night was absolutely shocking. You know, there was probably about 6 or 7 incidents that you could rhyme off, and whilst being a St Mirren fan, you could probably, you know, on a balance of probabilities, say that at least 2 or 3 of them should have gone our way. You know, the Hamilton goal was, you know, was a clash of heads before the free kick was awarded. Ryan Flynn, the referee, only issued a yellow card when he realised it was serious enough that his game was over. That night, Abika was on the park 5 seconds and just did what Abika does, and he got booked. But the main point I'm going to do, it was actually my son, who's 15, that pointed out to me, Willie Collum at St Mirren Park has been fourth official a number of times this year. And what we've then looked into is seen that the seems to be St Mirren and Ross County in particular have become the training ground for junior referees. There's three times out of 7 matches as Alan Newlands refereed St Mirren this year. The other 3 times he's refereed Ross County. So I think the smaller clubs just need to get a break and not be the training ground. For the referees, because we can't see that happening in a big Celtic Rangers game. So yeah, that's really my point.
Yeah, I'll be honest, because obviously don't have the exact numbers to hand. Someone from the Scottish FA might well disagree. What I will say though is I've heard that complaint a lot from St Mirren fans, so it makes me think that there is something in it. A lot of St Mirren fans have noticed. They feel like they get inexperienced referees quite often, and they don't like it, quite frankly.
Yeah, and obviously Donald's in that camp, and so is his young lad. I've never noticed that, Gordon. I really haven't.
It's been kind of rumbling on amongst St Mirren fans that I notice online and stuff this season. Like I say, that's not even close to the first time I've heard that complaint this season.
And is that, and is Donald saying the reason that Willie Collins there is for a bit of experience to try and pass on, you know, from the side of the pitch? Because you've got to start somewhere. I know that the argument can be, well, you've got to start down the leagues and work your way up. But we're, by the calls that we get in here, we're sorting good quality referees. So maybe these guys are trying to get fast-tracked to get them up to speed and try and get better improvement in the referee and situation. I don't know. I have no answer to that but, at all.
I mean, I can personally say...
I was going to say, Mark, yeah, because you get breaking the really inexperienced referees.
Yeah, and...
Do you come off Mark most weeks and think, you know, the referee was shocking there? Or?
Well, I can't say that now, can I?
No, you can't say
that. Well, just nod.
No. Listen, I take it, but I take Donald's point that perhaps you want to get a young referee in the Premiership at an Ibrox or a Celtic Park. Me personally, at Brecon, we see the real bottom end there. Well, not bottom end of the referee, but the starting point for them, where these young guys are coming out, and they obviously then go through the process of the leagues. Now I don't know too much about the Premiership refereeing, but if Donald's saying it, and there's another few complaints about it, the SFA obviously think that that's the best place for them to start, rather than throwing them into 60,000. Do I think it's fair? No, because it clearly isn't.
I'm not picking on this guy at all. It's just because Donald mentions, and this is not to say he hasn't had brilliant games within that, but just for what it's worth, in the top flight this season, Alan Newlands has done Ross County, Hamilton, Killy, Ross County, Aberdeen, St Mirren, Hibs, Hearts, St Johnstone, St Mirren, Killy, St Mirren, Hamilton. So yeah, the same couple of clubs, but like I say, I don't really know how that compares to others. And some of those games he might have performed brilliantly as well. Yeah, but it was that's the sort of facts on it. Donald, what about the football side of things? What did you make of last night? How are you assessing the picture at the bottom?
Well, I think Jim's really needing to figure out the tactics. I think we've got a decent bunch of players now. And I think I've got confidence for staying up because of we're solid at the back. And that's, I suppose, in Jim's blood. The team selection last night was a bit crazy. We've got one striker up front in my wee favourite, Junior Marais, and we've got four strikers on the bench, you know, against Hamilton. You know, so you look at that, and even the layman, I'm not a great student of the game, but that, to me, the optics and that just doesn't look quite right when you've got five strikers in the squad and one in the back.
Well, it was a wonderful free kick. That's the obvious positive you get.
Yeah.
One of you guys gets.
That was great. That was
Mark, yeah. Goal of the night for Mark. Is Donald on to something? Is with winter recruits and stuff, is Jim Goodwin still trying to figure out what's best?
Listen, I don't think so. I think Jim would have studied it when, you know, Donald's saying one striker on the park and four, you know, on the bench. I can't quite understand it. Jim's obviously assessed the situation and thought the middle of the park is where they're going to get a grip of the game and try to load that area. So there's reasons behind it. I think a lot of supporters, when they see a 4-2-3-1, automatically think, oh, we're only playing one up. That's negative. But isn't it? There's things behind that. And obviously Jim has his reasons for that last night.
Good man, Donald. That was Donald and Paisley. Thank you very much for the call. I've got some bad news for you.
Whoa. It's no Thomas again, is it? No. On next.
Tonight's full-time teaser.
No.
I had it put aside for Tuesday when Roger Hanna was on, and then I've just decided to give it to you two. I don't know what I was thinking,
we're
but
not gonna get it.
Hold on a minute.
You might.
Roger carries you every Tuesday.
So he does.
We'll give you the question next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's time for them to tackle tonight's full-time teaser. The question tonight has been sent in by John Smith. If you listen to the show regularly, you'll know that John sends in really difficult questions, and therefore we use them on a Tuesday because Roger is the smartest and we try and test him.
Roger's the smartest.
Quite frankly,
not for, like, honesty there.
For whatever reason, I actually do think you'll get quite a lot of these, so I've decided to give it to you tonight. And the question is this: can you name 12 players who have scored in Scotland?
Scotland, yep.
And have a dad who scored in the English Premier League.
A dad who's scored in the English Premier League.
12 players who've scored in Scotland and whose dads have scored in the English Premier League.
Doug Leash's.
No.
No, he never scored in the
Premier League era, so that would be 92-3 onwards.
Right, okay. Cole. Motherwell.
Devante Cole.
Yeah.
Son of
Andy Cole.
Yes.
Good shout. Well done, aye.
Scored for Motherwell this season, so you should remember that.
Yeah. Who else?
I don't know.
Honestly,
Roger.
Now, some of these are very doable. Some are hard. But they're all quite recent as well in terms of up here.
Right, okay, so.
So they've scored in Scotland and their dads have scored in the English Premier League.
Go
on.
Or do you know what? I don't
know. The boy at Hearts, or used to be at Hearts. Midfielder boy. Lee.
Ollie Lee.
Ollie Lee. Son of.
Stephen Lee. Stephen Lee. No, Stephen Lee.
He's a snooker player.
I played with Newcastle.
Rob Lee.
Rob Lee.
Yeah, Rob Lee.
Stephen Lee.
Brilliant. Good start.
Brilliant. I love that.
Good start for us.
We're on the snooker.
Devante Cole. Ollie Lee anymore?
Hold on a minute. Who was the lad that came to Celtic on loan? Isn't it? Played up front. He came last year, about a year ago, a season ago. Came on loan.
For who?
Oh, his parent club.
Who was his dad?
Oh, he was famous. Massive.
Like physically massive or
no,
reputation?
He was quick. Come on.
To be fair, I'm taking the mickey. I know exactly who he means. And this guy's dad was quite a player. I'm surprised you've forgotten this one.
He was a centre.
Timo Weah. We got there on there.
Timothy Weah, son of George, who played for Chelsea and Man City.
I'm struggling there to get your clues. Fingers and.
Aye.
Waving your hands.
Right, we'll leave it there. I'll open it out to you on Twitter, and I guarantee you'll get it before these two. Can you name 12 players who've scored in Scotland and whose dads have scored in the, whose dads have also scored in the English Premier League? Guys like Devante Cole scored for Motherwell. His dad was Andy Cole. Ollie Lee scored for Hearts. His dad was Rob Lee. And Timothy Weah.
Yes, good.
Is his son
Alec Bruce.
Yes.
Robert Bruce.
Okay, we'll leave it there. That's 4 of 12. I'm looking forward to the Scottish Cup this weekend. Can't just be me.
Yeah.
Always good at this stage. And some great ties, some smaller teams still left in it. BSE flying the flag for the Lowland League, taking on Hibs. And how can you ignore Clyde against Celtic with everything that goes along with that fixture and the history of this competition, Mark?
Yeah, well, that was one of the biggest shocks. Now, I remember sitting in the house, a Dundee United player, watching that game in Dundee and thinking, wow, what a shock that is. Little did I know, the next week I'd be sitting in the dressing room with the same guys. And of course it was Roy Keane's debut.
So let me get this straight, and Celtic lost to Clyde and thought, I know how we fix this.
Exactly.
They went right in the dressing room after a game and said, that's it, we're bringing in Wilson, we're going to get him. Doesn't matter how much money.
Trophies followed after that. So
it must have been a weird time though, because the club would have been rocked by that.
Wow, it was the whole fallout, you know, the Roy Keane and the Dewey. Remember Dewey played that game as well, and he was never seen. Now I'd known that. This shows you how quickly he departed the club. I'd never seen him. He was away apparently before I arrived, so that shows how quick that timescale was. But it was an incredible shock.
So you signed the very next week, was it? Or a couple of days later?
Next week. What date was it? So it would have been the next week. So I signed mid-January. And I was a total shock. And the club was going through a wee bit of transition at that time. But it was amazing. But just when the Roy Keane situation, after what had happened at Man United and his big fallout, to come to Celtic and play his debut at Clyde and lose, I mean, it must have been an incredibly intimidating experience for those guys that were in that dressing room that day. Because I played a couple of weeks later my debut against Dundee United. Roy Keane was on the bench. We ended up, we were 3-1 up. We threw it away in the last couple of minutes, 3-3. And we had a meeting in the Monday morning, I think, video meeting. And Roy didn't say anything at the game time. And Gordon said his piece and blah, 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 this, that, the next thing. And that was the first time Roy spoke calmly, right enough. He says, I can't believe...
we've signed Wilson.
He said, I can't believe people didn't have each other by the throats after that. Now, that was a league game against a Dundee United team who were decent. So I can't imagine what happened the week before.
I think the story goes that he actually didn't say anything, but I think that's maybe because it was his first game, and then he's clearly saved it up till you arrived, and that's, so that's what he said. He said,
exactly,
I can't believe people.
Exactly. And you know what the funny bit about that story was? That he says, I can't believe people didn't have each other by the throats. I mean, it was just incredible, and you know, it collapsed, and nobody said it in the dressing room. I can't believe that. And you know, then Gordon Fine and said his other piece. Apparently the story goes, I think he was a sub and he was going to get put on, but I'm pretty sure his strip wasn't there or something. He had to go back up the tunnel for something. By the time he got back in, United had scored the equaliser. You know, I think he was coming on, and you know, that was clearly down to him not being prepared or something. But
you let it slide when it's him, don't you?
I don't think many people wanted to say anything to him, Gordon, to be honest. I was just sitting at the back of the room going, oh, wow. Mm. You know, this is when you know you're at a big club, when these big characters are clashing. You had Neil Lennon, Gordon Stratton, Roy Keane on the one room at that time. But I'm glad I came the week later and wasn't involved in that Clyde.
It's just one of the standout fixtures. Gordon, Clyde against Celtic, Aki's against Rangers could be an interesting one if Aki's defend as well as they did against Celtic and of course keep 10 men on the pitch. BSC against Hibs, what a club changing fixture for a team like BSC.
Yeah, the money they're going to earn, Gordon, it's on TV as well. I love the Scottish Cup because I always look around and think, where could an upset, where is a shock coming? You've got good games. Motherwell away to St Mirren, that'll be a difficult one. I really don't know where a shot's going to come.
Falkirk Hearts.
You think you Falkirk can turn
it? Listen, Falkirk are flying just now, you know, scoring plenty of goals. And Hearts, I mean, look, Hearts defensively, you seen it last night. You know, at home, everybody thinking they've got it right and their pressing was fantastic. It just showed that Kelly found a way easily. I mean, three up could have been more before Hearts even put a wee bit of respect on the scoreline. I think that could be the slip up of the round.
Okay, we'll be looking for that one next Thursday, Gordon. Looking forward to it.
Let's take another call. Let's speak to Andrew in Somerston. Hi, Andrew.
Yes, good evening, panel. It's good you've got Gordon and Mark on tonight, bring a bit of laughter on front of the show.
Something like that.
Too many serious people in this game, you know. No, I normally, when I go to Ibrox, I was at the game last night, I normally sit somewhere on the stand, but my daughter's friends got a box and I was invited for the full boon on last night.
Lovely.
Oh, nice. Oh, it was fantastic. And getting on to the game, I thought Rangers would have come out, after the last three games disappointing, I thought they'd have come out with guns all blazing. But then I think you can only play to your strength for the opposition allow you to play. And they were a bit short in the first half, but the second half, Hibs put everybody back and Rangers just went for them. And everybody in my box is like, oh, this is going to be another draw. I says, look, I'm a bit superstitious here. I'm going to the toilet. Every time I go to the toilet, Rangers score a goal. So I went to the toilet and I just heard a massive cheer. And all I could think about was, where's the toilet paper? I couldn't find the toilet paper.
Too much information.
I get back to the bolts and they're like, where you get back to the toilet? Rangers, you know, he got it right in the second half.
There'll be people at Rangers now thinking we need to get Andrew a permanent toilet, box so he can just sit in the
so
toilet.
Many, nice, so many load. Questions. I don't know if I want to go there. Like, they deliberately save it up so you can go back to the toilet.
I can't find. Did he just say I couldn't find the toilet paper?
Yeah, you couldn't find the toilet paper.
I've got it in my head, right? This guy walking out of Ibrox, up the road to go to the shop, know where the trousers are in
here. Up to Asda and Gummy. So Andrew, let's cut to the chase. You are putting Rangers' victory last night down to your toilet habits.
Yes, definitely. And but Matthew Polster, I wish you'd have put him on last night. I think when he gets his opportunity, he plays out his skin. And I'm a big Arfield fan as well. But Glenn Kamara, one of the best games I've seen Glenn Kamara at Ibrox was last season when they played Kamara. I think we beat them 5-1. It was outstanding that night, but he's hot and cold. He's never, I've not seen him in a good game after that.
I don't really know how to go on to a serious football point after the whole toilet roll debacle. But do your best.
Well, with Glenn Kamara, I mean, Glenn Kamara, I think, has been an outstanding purchase for Rangers.
Big clubs watching him, and
I think he's
money.
Maybe not off the boil
since
January. Yeah, wee bit off the boil. But look, players go through ups and downs. Arfield, I mean, look, we've got Arfield's biggest fan sitting to the left of me here, so you know that. But Polster over Tavernier, I think that it's a no-brainer when, you know, as soon as Tavernier was fit, being the captain, Rangers looked like they missed a wee bit going forward in those areas. Tavernier was always going to come back in. I think Polster knows exactly what he is, and that's back up to Tavernier. As soon as he's fit, he's one of the first names on the team sheet for Steven Gerrard.
Andrew, hopefully your bowels are okay. Keep us up to speed on what happens next time you go to Ibrox, okay?
Catch you later, bye.
Good man. That was Andrew in Summerson. That reminds me, I was actually down at your old school today, Gordon Deal. It happens to be my old school as well. We were educated in the same place.
Picture still there, Robbie?
Yeah, well, I was looking at the Ducks medalist board, 1972, to see if I could see your name, but needless to say, it wasn't there. What I'm trying to say is, I let the pupils hear some clips from the show, just some of the sort of daft things that happen. And the point I was trying to make is, when a caller comes on, you never really know where it's going to go. You can start talking about one thing and you go off. So I now know what call I'm going to play them next year.
Oh, without a shadow of doubt.
And it's Andrew the toilet bowl man.
I hope he calls in again, because I want to know if this is a regular thing. You know, I want to know if there's a big game and Rangers are tied 0-0 and he goes to the toilet. If I actually,
please don't have any toilet roll.
The Celtic game, come on in, Andrew, come on to the Celtic game. If things aren't going right, tell us what happened.
He's a Vindaloo the night before.
Drinks 8 litres of water just before the game.
Guinness on his way. Anyway, right, that's absolutely plenty. Yeah. People might still be having their dinner. What about tonight's teaser? We're looking for 12 players who have scored in Scotland and their dads have scored in the English Premier League. Guys like Alex Bruce, son of Steve, Devante Cole, son of Andy, Ollie Lee, son of Rob, and Timothy Weir, son of George.
Yeah, you always think of dads sitting in the stands watching their boys up here. So I'm going to go Josh Windass and Dean Windass.
Yes.
Good one.
I'm just going to guess after us.
By the way, Schmeichel hasn't scored up here, has he? No. I know goalkeeper, but his dad did.
No.
No, but I'm just thinking if Casper.
No, forget it.
Nah.
What about, I don't know his name, but I know he was up here.
Played centre. This will be good.
Centre back, Martin Keown's boy.
Can you remember his first name?
Steve.
No. Played for Partick Thistle.
Did he? Premier League.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
If you can give me his first name.
What does it start with?
I'll let you away with it. Niall.
Niall!
Yeah. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 down, 7 to go. We'll get them next.
No. Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
That was quite the break in the company of Gordon DL and Mark Wilson, because we're trying tonight's teaser. And the question is, can you name 12 players who've scored in Scotland and whose dads have scored in the English Premier League? And they're actually doing okay. They've got Alex Bruce, Devante Cole, Niall Keown, Ollie Lee, Timothy Weir and Josh Windass. But I've spent the last few minutes trying to explain to them that Anton Ferdinand is not the son of Les Ferdinand. We've also had
Daz's idea.
We've also had to explain that Sherwin Seedorf is not the son of Clarence Seedorf.
Yeah, I think that was my idea.
So I'm not really sure if we're going to progress any.
Yeah, we are.
Have you got any more?
I've got Alan Stubbs and his boy Sam
didn't score for Hamilton.
Told you that. Said that. Holy. He didn't see you.
All right, I've got an Armand Cracker. I've been a Motherwell fan. Haley. Mark Haley's boy.
Hold on a minute. That was my one.
No, wasn't just... When did you come out with that?
Okay, come on, such a big Motherwell fan. What's his first name? Mark Haley's boy.
Tom Haley.
Yeah.
Jorkaeff.
Yes, Owen Jorkaeff, St.
Mirren. I can't do that one.
And Yuri Jorkaeff. Also, just to let you in on the off air secrets, Gordon did not say Jorkaeff. He said, do you know that guy, Djokovic?
Yeah, you're the tennis player, Ben.
Well, I went snooker or tennis.
I'll tell you what, great response to this on Twitter. So thanks to all the folks out there that are playing. Yeah, Peter Gray got Jorkaeff. Mikey has thrown in a good few. He's gone for Schmeichel, which is wrong, but he's got one that you still don't have. Stefan Carlin as well, throwing some really good names in there. He's fallen for the old Stubbs one. He's gone for Derek and Lewis Ferguson as well, which is not right.
No.
Stephen Kennedy got Tom Hatley. C-O-Y-S, come on you saints, I guess, says Owen Jorkaeff. So great answers coming in. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4 to get. You won't get any of them. No, I think you'll get one of them, and the other three you can forget it.
That's fine. We're quite happy to get to this stage.
I'll give you some clues. Let's leave it there.
The clubs, maybe.
Right. Let's speak to Laurie and Denison. Hi, Laurie.
Hey, panel, good evening.
Hi,
good evening, Laurie.
Guys, it strikes me that Celtic have been magnificent, of course, since the winter break. However, I would urge a note of caution, because a lot of people celebrating prematurely as though it's done and dusted. Nothing could be further from the truth. I remember only too well Helicopter Sunday. And just prior to that, with four games remaining, Celtic were 5 points clear, so I would suggest to these people, just don't celebrate just now. There's 3 months of the campaign still to go. That's my first point. A couple of additional points I would like to make, Gordon, is I'm not going to touch on Edouard and Griffiths. Everybody said all there is to say about that. Absolutely fantastic. They've been unleashed as a duet. What I would like to say is Greg Taylor, fantastic to see him get a chance to claim that the left-back position is his own. I felt, since we signed him, that he was an actual successor to Kieran Tierney. He gives us a defensive stability that Hayes and Bolognoli don't. And the third and final point I would like to say is that the game against Clyde on the weekend in the Scottish Cup, because of such a congested fixture schedule over the next 2 or 3 weeks, surely this gives Neil Lennon an opportunity to play some of the fringe players, players who are knocking on the door, are coming back from injury, like Daniel Lavzani, the young Polish guy that was signed, Klamala, and El Yunusi. The panel's thoughts?
Yeah, let's start with the second point, because Greg Taylor is a fascinating one. We were inundated with Celtic fans saying, what's happening? Why is he not playing? Why is Johnny Hayes playing in front of him? He then has started to play. Neil Lennon has even said, you know, he's in the driving seat, if you like. He's the number one. But then strangely on Sunday, without sounding too harsh, in some ways Johnny Hayes coming on was the impetus that Celtic, or he certainly helped swing the game really in Celtic's favour. How do you look at that position at the moment, Gordon?
It's a matter of opinion. Laurie seems to like him. I don't think he's the best wing back in the position. I think he's a very good left back, Gordon. And there's different ways to play that position.
So you think if it's 4-4-2, if it's 4 at the back, absolutely Greg Taylor.
I think he's the best left back that they've got.
But if it's 3-5-2, you're not quite as sure.
I don't think he's the best wing back they've got, no. I think guys like Johnny Hayes, for instance, was a natural winger. I think you've got to play high up the park. You've got to commit players. If you look at Greg Taylor, whether he's been instructed or not, but every time he gets a ball, he never goes and commits people. He never goes by them and then whips ball in the box, balls into the box. He does it from the angle. Now, I think Greg Taylor, and before everybody starts, I'm saying he's a good player. I'm not criticising the lad in any way at all. I think as a wing back, if you look at Forrest in the other sense, right, you wouldn't say Forrest would be the best right back that Celtic have got. But in the formation they're playing with the wing back, he's magnificent at it. That's my point here. I think that Taylor is a back four player. I don't think he's a wing back player.
But I don't think he's nailed on. I know Neil Lennon says he's in the driving seat, but I don't think he's nailed on. I think certain types of game, I think Neil would have looked at Motherwell and saw what they've done this year, seen that they're a real attacking force. You've got one attacking guy on one side, James Forrest. So it's a bit of balance. if it does have to shift and be a wee bit more defensive, Greg Taylor's your man. And like happened on Sunday, if it doesn't work, you've got a great option to bring on. I think there'll be games that Johnny Hayes, where Neil thinks, you know what, we can actually afford to just go for this, then Johnny Hayes may come in and play that role. But I certainly think he's worth a start just now. A lot of fans would agree with that as well, being bought for so much money, or, you know, a reasonable amount of money, and not getting a shot.
Before
ask
we get any further, Mark, that's not my argument. I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve a start. Yeah. I'm just making a point that I think the best players in the system, I don't think he's the best player for the wing back, but he does it. He's playing the now, they're winning, the clean sheet there, a great result last night as well. But I just think in that wing back position, I think there's other players that can offer more. I think Taylor's an out and out left back.
What do you think, Laurie? Disagree with Gordon?
I respect Gordon. Obviously,
you don't even have to do that, honestly.
No, not at all, Laurie.
As a player and a manager, however, in my estimation, irrespective of the formation or the lineup, Greg Taylor, for me, should be penciled in as the left back. Going forward defensively, I think he's brilliant. I'll just repeat what I said earlier, Gordon, and I think that he is the heir apparent to Kieran Tierney.
High praise indeed. Yeah. Very quickly, because we're short on time, what about Laurie's last point? Is it a chance?
Clyde,
I mean, Neil Lennon said as much last night and this morning that they will make some changes without going over the top.
Yeah, well, I think that's the point, that Neil was involved in that game, that infamous game where there was big names, so he knows the dangers, but is right to mix up the squad and give
someone
a chance.
Thank you very much to Laurie. We've had a really disturbing tweet in from Keith McCann. Do you remember the last caller who said he goes to the toilet every time he needs Rangers to score a goal? He says, honest to God, I'm in the middle of cooking my dinner. I'm cutting a Spanish chorizo, and your man, the Gers fan's talking about going to the toilet. I've just phoned a pizza instead. I can't face eating the chorizo. Oh, right, quickly, you've got a few more on the teaser. What have you got for me?
None.
Nothing.
Oh, right, okay.
Nothing.
That's not good.
So, clues.
Clues.
Clues
right.
Up.
Okay, what about this guy? This might give you a clue, right? We have had a tweet in from Daniel Franklin. And he's got one for you, and he's got a big Blackburn Rovers badge as his Twitter picture.
Oh,
Colin Henry. Son of
who's his son?
Callum Henry.
Who scored for
St Johnson.
Yes, well done. Right, these are the ones you'll never get.
Initials.
I'll name the dad, you name the son. You still won't be able to
go
do
then.
This.
Go.
Mike Newell.
Big Steve Newell.
No, Peter Newell.
Right, you clearly don't know, do you?
Initial.
George at Motherwell.
George. Oh, he never played with Motherwell.
Okay. Dad, John Munker.
Bobby Munker.
You guys,
John Munker.
No. George Munker.
Is that his name?
George is the son of John, sorry, who played for Swindon and West Ham.
Nah, never.
And the last one, he's at Dundee United at the moment.
Yeah.
And his dad played for Sheffield Wednesday and West Ham.
Sheffield Wednesday and West Ham?
Mm-hmm.
Initials?
The son.
Andy.
I-H.
Oh,
Harks.
Ian Harks.
Well done. His dad is John Harks. Thank you to Gordon and Mark. Thank you for all your calls. It was a really busy show with so much football. So please call back tomorrow if you couldn't get through. We're here at 6 with Hugh Keevans and Fraser Wishart. And Callum Gallagher is up next.
One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.